Mildred Williams was just your average army wife.
John was a man of his word. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said.
But when her husband finally returned from the Gulf War, Mildred found herself sleeping with the enemy.
John said to me, "You have become my enemy, and as my enemy, I will kill you."
I never thought that John would be capable of this. This was just totally out of character.
And before long, the whole world would know just how diabolical her husband had become.
There was no stopping John. He was a killing machine.
When it comes to love and marriage, things aren't always what they seem. Mildred Green was raised by a single mother and never knew her father. So when it came to choosing the right man, her mother gave her strong words of advice.
What she did say is that you should find a man who says what he means and means what he says. Make sure that he is a man of his word.
And on a balmy September day in 1983, Mildred did just that. She was out with a girlfriend when she met John Williams, a charming man of his word.
He was really attractive because he had a beautiful smile. And he said, "I'm John. What are you doing tonight?"
Mildred and John had their first date that very evening.
We spent 3 hours just talking. And he ended up saying, "Are you seeing anybody?" And I say, "No, I'm just waiting for the right man to come along." And he say, "Well, you just met him." I was like, "Wow."
The couple dated exclusively for 2 years until John, who was in the Army Reserves, was called up to serve at the Army base in Fort Lewis, Washington. But only a month after his departure, John couldn't get Mildred out of his mind.
He sent me an airline ticket, and he said, "I need you. I can't make it without you. Can you please come?" And so I told my mom, I said, "Gotta go, Mom."
John was in love with Mildred, and Mildred fell overly in love with him. It was her and John.
And he said, "You know, I never want you to lose that sparkle in your eye for me. He said, I'm gonna do everything that I know how to make sure you keep that."
3 years after the move, the sparkle in Mildred's eyes still burned bright. And on March 10th, 1988, Mildred and John were married.
The day of our wedding, I was the happiest woman in the world. I loved John. There was no doubt in my mind that he was all that I was looking for.
John was dressed in his military uniform, and Mildred was in her white wedding gown. We was very happy for Mildred.
2 years after they were married, a lifelong dream of Mildred's was fulfilled as the couple welcomed their first son, John Jr.
John was a good dad, and he really took time. He came home from work, he ate dinner, he played with his son. That was the routine.
A year after their first child arrived, John received orders to serve in the Gulf War.
I was a little nervous because John sat me down and he said, "Look." And he had wrote out a plan for me to carry out should he not make it back alive.
Much to Mildred's relief, in March of 1991, just 3 months after he left, John returned home with just a minor shoulder injury. But the man who walked through the door was a far cry from the man Mildred had married.
He would sit in a chair and rock back and forth. And I'd say, "Honey, is this something I can do?" "No, there's nothing you can do. I don't want to talk about it."
To Mildred, it seemed like she was living with someone else entirely. And life for the couple continued on a downward spiral. 8 years and 2 more children later, John would end up driving Mildred away.
His behavior had escalated to a point now to where it was about his manipulation and control of Mildred.
By the summer of 1999, Mildred had filed for divorce, and John moved out. They agreed that he would get the kids every other weekend. On March 23rd, 2000, John had scheduled a visit, so he had the kids starting on that Friday. On Monday, Mildred received what she thought was just an ordinary phone call.
I get a call from John, and little John is on the phone. And I say, ask your dad, what time are you coming back? He said, tell him we'll be back in an hour. I said, okay. So 8:30, right? He said, yes, ma'am.
But when 8:30 came and went with no sign of the children, her mother's intuition kicked in.
She said, something's wrong. They should have been back.
And so it was 11:35 p.m. John called and said, we are en route from Seattle. We will be there shortly. And Seattle is 45 minutes away. And as soon as I hung up the phone, I was like, something's wrong.
Mildred was about to face every parent's worst nightmare.
And I waited in the living room in a chair. And they didn't come home.
Now Mildred had no idea where her children were or if she would ever see them again. The situation was unimaginable, and things were about to get even worse.
I only thought he was going to kill me. I never, ever thought he would include other people.
In March of 1991, 9 years before her husband would kidnap their own children, Mildred Williams was a faithful Army wife with a young son and a husband who just returned from the Gulf War.
John was very angry. His outlook on life had changed. But it didn't change for the better.
After months with no improvement, Mildred suspected that John might be suffering from post-traumatic stress.
He had no psychological prepping when he returned, nor was he debriefed. And so I felt that what I needed to do is just try to understand him better and help him the best that I can.
Together, the couple began studying the teachings of Islam, even changing their last name to Muhammad. But John's behavior grew more and more bizarre.
The more I tried to understand him, the more he felt like I was his enemy.
John began riding a black bicycle late at night, carrying a rifle, but refused to tell Mildred why.
And I said, are you going to tell me what's going on? He said, no. Then he was like, you're asking too many questions.
She was scared because she didn't know what John would do.
It didn't take long for John's strange behavior to affect his military career. And in the spring of 1994, he was honorably discharged. Now in need of a new career, John turned his love of fixing cars into a new enterprise.
John could fix cars. I knew paperwork.
Before long, business at their home car repair shop was booming. And at last, things seemed to be on the upswing. Until one day, when Mildred got a call from a female customer lodging a disturbing complaint.
She said that your head mechanic, John, is propositioning me to have sex with him in order for him to repair my car. I said, yes, ma'am. I will handle it.
When she did approach John, he denied it.
But it was too late. After years of standing by her husband, this time, Mildred had reached her limit.
As time went on, more women came up in that way. And so July of 1999, I asked John for a divorce. And that is when things began to escalate in terms of his emotional abuse.
In September of 1999, John moved out. But he did not take the separation lightly. Instead, his behavior went from bizarre to terrifying.
He would come in the middle of the night and stand over me And I could feel his presence. And I had to open my eye to a slither so I can watch him walk from one side of the bed to the other. And then he would leave.
Fearing for her life, Mildred was forced to take out a restraining order. And when she did, John went over the edge.
Mildred!
And he says, I am not going to let you raise my children on your own. You have become my enemy. And as my enemy, I will kill you.
Mildred knew John was a man of his word. But before he would attempt to make good on his threat, John would take away the thing Mildred loved most. And he'd take others down with them.
Her worst fears were now starting to unfold.
With a divorce from John underway, Mildred Mohammed had a restraining order against her husband, but he was still allowed to see their three children. On March 23, 2000, he took them away on a weekend visit and never returned.
Every moment was a hard moment when my children were gone. I had to stop living day by day, which was reduced to minute by minute. The life had been sucked out of me.
I just thought maybe John took the children for a while and would bring them back. But as days kept passing and weeks kept passing and months kept passing, then we was very alarmed.
It was all too much for Mildred to bear.
She quit eating. She just did not have an appetite. Weight loss, hair falling out. I could see the toll it was taking on her physically, and she was dying inside.
Finally, on August 31st, 2001, 18 months after John and the children disappeared, Mildred got the phone call she'd been waiting for.
Yes, how are you?
The detective called and he said, Miss Mohammed? I was like, yes, sir. He said, we got your children. Oh, I dropped the phone. I started screaming and running up and down the stairs.
Then Mildred heard the voices that she'd been missing for so long.
So Selena gets on the phone and she says, hey, Mommy, guess what? I said, what? She says, I'm 9 years old. I said, I know that. How you doing? She said, I'm good.
John had been living in Antigua for a year and a half with the kids and had changed their names. But when he returned to the United States, the law finally caught up with him.
John went to social services to apply for food stamps and cash. They did a cross-reference on the children's names and found out that they were kidnapped. And so they arrested him.
We were so excited. The day that we had hoped and prayed for had finally came.
The nightmare may have ended, but since there was no formal custody arranged between them, Mildred couldn't pursue any charges against John that carried jail time.
My hands were totally tied because we did not have a parenting plan, and he is their father.
There was only one thing Mildred could do. She went to court.
And the judge says, John, she will get custody of the children. So here's this document you need to sign. John signed the document and threw it back at the court. And he storms out the courtroom.
At this point, we knew that whatever he was capable of, the battle was on.
The very next morning, fearing John's revenge, Mildred took her children and fled to her sister's house in Maryland. Once there, she was barely able to catch her breath.
Coming to Maryland did not diminish the possibility that John was going to find me. Because, see, John was going to kill me. John was in the military. John knew how to track.
Then, in October of 2002, Mildred had something new to fear. A series of random shootings began that put the entire Washington, D.C. area on high alert.
We didn't know if this was one person or two or more. And the killings right on their face were random.
The panic started when a man was gunned down in the parking lot of a Maryland grocery store. Then, the next morning, four more people were shot to death in a series of random shootings across the D.C. area.
We were like, oh my goodness, we are in for some vast and evil days.
Now Mildred was faced with the added stress of not only keeping her kids safe from her ex-husband, but from a crazed sniper as well.
We were just as fearful as everyone else. We didn't go outside. And on top of that, I was looking for John too.
But Mildred had no idea that her own personal nightmare was about to collide with the tragedy making headline news around the world. On October 23rd, 2002, a knock came at Mildred's door that would change everything.
I said, what? John?
Can you imagine a federal agent telling you, oh, by the way, that was someone you married? I mean, it's like being punched in the head.
In October of 2002, Mildred Mohammed was one of thousands of residents who watched in horror as news reports of the DC sniper continued. In less than a month, a total of 10 people were brutally gunned down, and police were working day and night to stop the rampage.
My fear for John was more heightened than my fear for the sniper, because I knew John was going to get me, but the sniper was a random thing. It could be anybody.
After 3 weeks of round-the-clock investigations, authorities were about to publicly announce the names of the suspects. But first, they had one last stop to make.
October 23rd, just as we were sitting down to eat, there was a knock on the door.
It was agents from the ATF, and they had arrived with some unthinkable news for Mildred.
We're gonna name your ex-husband, John Mohammed, as the sniper. I said, what? John?
Can you imagine someone coming in, a federal agent, and telling you, oh, by the way, that was someone you married, that's the father of your children. I mean, it's like being punched in the head.
Police informed Mildred that John had carried out the killings with a 16-year-old boy named Leboyd Malvo. John befriended Malvo while he was in Antigua with the children.
Mohammed dominated that duo, and he was the calculating, diabolical influencer.
Mohammed and Malvo began their rampage in Washington State and then drove cross-country, allegedly murdering people along the way until they reached D.C. to carry out the rest of their deadly plan.
I only thought he was going to kill me. I never, ever thought he would include other people.
It was a shock. We could not believe John would kill someone.
And police had reason to suspect that John had one clear objective behind his killing spree. Mildred.
The theory was that he was going to make my murder look like a random shooting so that the evidence would not point back to him. Then he would come in as the grieving father to claim the children.
In John's quest to murder his ex-wife, he shot and killed 10 innocent people and severely wounded 3.
Of all the places that they could have went, in the United States, in Canada, in Mexico, they went to Montgomery County, Maryland, for one reason: revenge. And that's the revenge against Mildred.
On October 24th, 2002, John Mohammed and Leboyd Malvo were finally arrested. Authorities had matched a fingerprint from one of the crimes to Malvo and had positively identified Mohammed after a phone tip.
There was no humanity in John Mohammed. There was no humanity. He's a killing machine. He would have kept killing.
1 year after the shootings, John Mohammed was found guilty of capital murder, conspiracy, and firearms charges. Malvo was also found guilty of murder, terrorism, and unlawful use of a firearm.
Of all the killers that I've seen in my career of 36 years in law enforcement, Mohammed stands out, I think, as a guy who's an ice cold-blooded killer.
Mildred no longer fears for her life, but she still feels the sting of being the ex-wife of the DC sniper.
People blamed me and my children. And they felt that if I would have stayed with John, then he just would have killed me.
And no matter how many years pass since the tragedy, Mildred will never forget all the victims that died at the hands of her ex-husband.
She did feel guilty. And she cried to me and she said, Isa, I tried to tell everybody I knew. She says, Isa, you were there, you know. And I said, you did.
It was no easy feat. But today, Mildred can finally say she's at peace with the past.
Mildred is hitting the resume button. The children are doing well. Her life has been putting together their lives and allowing the process for them all to heal. And I think that is miraculous.
It took me years to find my own voice, to stand up to what I believe. And that is the person that I am today.